Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Acts 26, you guys ready? Verse 15, and it says this. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. This is a story about a man by the name of Saul who gave his life to killing Christians. You ever heard the term knocked off your high horse? Well, it came from this passage. Saul was on his way to kidnap and kill more Christians, and the Holy Spirit literally knocked him off of his high horse. And then he began to speak to Saul. And I believe what God said to Saul, God is saying to us today, I saved you for a purpose. Look at the person next to you and say, you are a Christian, or you will be, for a purpose. Come on, find somebody else. Help me preach. Find one person and tell them, you're a Christian, or you will be, for a purpose. He said, I've saved you not for warm and fuzzies, but for a purpose. And here's the purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes. Anybody believe that there's people in this country that need their eyes open to the fact that God has not made a mistake, but He has a plan for them, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It's my favorite verse, verse 19. You ever notice how a pastor said every verse is his favorite verse? I thought that other verse was last week. Well, this is my favorite this week. Says this, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Jesus, you're here. We're grateful. Speak to us. Transform us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Can you guys give it for the worship team? Particularly Rob Broadus, who, that brother was wearing that guitar out. Rob's actually a soon-to-be father. Uh-oh. Bringing little Broaduses into the world. So pray for him. He does a lot of time sweating right now. You could grab your seat. Let's unpack God's word this morning. I'm not going to lie to you, church. I underestimated you. I judged you. I didn't think you were that spiritual. I figured most of you would be watching the fight last night and you'd be rolling in church like when we were ending. But you're here. I'm so proud of you. So he said, I don't know if that's a compliment or what, but anyway, we're in week 4 of our series called 1670, and that refers to the temperature of the hottest part of a candle. And here's the whole point of 1670, 1,670 degrees Fahrenheit. It's this, that God has called us as believers to do everything in our lives 100%. If you're going to be married, you should be married 100%. That's a good place to say amen. If you're going to work there, you should give that workplace your 100%. And if you're going to believe in God, you should give him 100%. One of the things that I just can't do, it's not possible for me to do things halfway. Are you saying, Pastor, you're great and you do everything 100%? No, I'm saying either I do it 100% or I don't do it at all. I ain't got time for that. I don't know. But when I'm in it, I'm in it. I'm just like, I drive 100%. I'm just all the way in it. And listen to me, you're never going to get all that God has for you unless you go after him with all that you have. This one foot in, one foot out, it doesn't work. This let me see what happens. It's a nosedive. God, I'm going after you with all that I have. We talked in the first week about how it's God's presence that keeps us on fire for him. God is not a genie. He's not here just to answer your prayers. And God is not a taskmaster. He's not here just to work you. God is a God that desires to know you intimately, to have a relationship with you. We talked about how it's God's word that burns in our heart and keeps us passionate for him, even through storms. And didn't you guys enjoy Pastor Trent last week? Good gracious, I don't know about you, but I'm now reevaluating every friendship in my life. Are you feeding my flame or are you draining my flame? Because we got to figure this out. Like, who are the people around you? Today, I want to talk about being fueled by the mission. That there's actually a mission that fuels your passion. I have a question for you. Have you ever been on a mission? Now, when I say a mission, I'm not talking about some, you know, random, you know, foolish goal that you had. I'm talking about, like, a mission that mattered, that literally changed things. Like, failure was not an option. I must accomplish this mission. Me and my brother, we were on a mission similar to that a few years ago. We were at Thanksgiving dinner kind of looking through the ads, and we found out that Walmart had the new Xbox 50% off. Instantly, we were commissioned for a mission. We did not go to sleep that night because we were afraid that if we slept, we would not wake up at 3 a.m. and would not get to Walmart by 4 a.m. So we stayed up all night watching Jack Bauer. That's what you do on Thanksgiving night. You eat and then you watch 24 for 24 hours straight. At least that's what I do. We got in our car about 3:30. We got down to Walmart to fulfill our mission. Just discovered there was probably about 3,000 other people who had the same mission. We get there, there's a line wrapped around Walmart twice. We said, this is not our Walmart. This is not the Walmart that God has called us to, anointed us for. Let us go find another one. So we drove down the street to another Walmart and found the line was equally as long. So we began to reason with one another. I said, brother, there is no way that all of these people are in line for the Xbox that God has called us to. So we will stay in line and they'll go get whatever they came to get, and we'll just came what God has anointed us, had called us, has commissioned us for. We stood in that line for 1.5 hours. Why? They were only letting people in the store in increments, and we were not the most focused people on that mission. We finally get in the store, and it was like some Navy SEALs in there. We got hand signs. I said, Pat, you go this way. Cut that lady off. Trip that kid. We got this. And we're getting our way to the electronics section. We get to the electronics section only to find another line. There was more people that were on the same mission. We stood in that line for 1 hour. And then when we finally get up to the cash register, we look at this ungodly heathen that was looking back at us. How can you judge somebody? How do you know they weren't a Christian? Because when we told them what our mission was, they laughed. They said, you're not joking. Are you really here for that? Yes, that was gone 4 hours ago. I said, but you only opened 3 hours ago. Seriously, though, that had nothing to do with anything in this message. It was a pointless story at all. But did you enjoy it? Have you ever been on a mission? You ever been focused on something that you have to accomplish? There's something about a mission that your adrenaline starts pumping and your focus starts to narrow and you begin to lock on literally, this is my mission. This is what I must accomplish. It might be that last semester of senior year where you're so close to that degree you can touch it. Just this one last prerequisite that I forgot about and then it's mine. It may be raising children, it may be your business or whatever it may be, but when you get locked on a mission, it fuels you, it spurs you, it keeps you focused on what you're trying to accomplish. In this passage in Acts chapter 26, Paul was on trial. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel, and he was asked, what are you doing and why are you doing it? And Paul said this statement that honestly, ever since I've read it, it has challenged me to the core of my being. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, he said, I was not disobedient to God's mission for my life.
I have a question for you. If you were on trial today, and the charges were you obedient to God's mission for your life, would you be able to say, whoever it is holding you trial, I have not been disobedient to the reason why Jesus died on the cross for me. I have been faithful to his mission for my life. Or would your response be like a lot of our responses? Mission? What mission? God has a mission for me? Here's the thing. The enemy wants you to believe that your life is a mistake. That either it was a mistake by your parents and they didn't plan it, or based on the mistakes that you've made and the detours that you've taken, that life is just by chance. You make the most of yourself. Your mission is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Make the best of your life. Listen to me. Your mission is not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your mission is ordained by God, was designed before you even breathed one breath on this planet. God designed you on purpose for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are his." What does that mean? It means this life that I have, I don't own it. It doesn't belong to me. This is where his workmanship. You know God made you the way you are? Not just your looks, but your personality, your strengths, your weaknesses, the reason why you're so ignorant, the reason why you're so extroverted or introverted, the reason why you're so whatever you are so is because God made you like that on purpose. He formed you. He fashioned you. The Bible says, while you were in your mother's womb, God formed you. He made you. He designed you. And here's why. God created you in Christ Jesus for good works, for a mission, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. One of my favorite movies is a movie by the name of Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. You guys ever seen that series with all the spies and all this other kind of stuff? Tom Cruise. And it usually starts off with some spy is exposed, their identity is revealed, and they die, or some bomb goes off, or whatever it may be. And Tom Cruise is usually locked up in some maximum security prison, and then all the doors just randomly open. He walks out like he's, you know, Paul, and God just released him, or whatever it may be. And finally, when he comes to the base, that there's usually a payphone. You guys are looking at me like you've never watched Mission Impossible. You heathens, come on, get your salvation in. Anyway, so he'll go to a payphone and he'll pick up the phone, and on the other end will be some anonymous operator that lets him know what his mission is. And then after he hears the mission, he'll hear this phrase, "This mission or this recording will self-destruct in 5 seconds." He walks away, and the phone booth blows up. I find sometimes God's mission for our life is kind of like that. First of all, I didn't even know that God had a mission for my life. I thought his mission for my life was just to be holy and not embarrass him. That's my mission for Zoe now. She used to be this cute little baby that would just go into restaurants and just sleep. Not anymore. Now she's throwing things. She's hitting waitresses. She's flinging ketchup across. And now I said, "Babe, your mission, princess, sweetie pie, just don't embarrass daddy. That's your whole mission today. You don't have to eat anything. Just don't embarrass me." Sometimes we feel like that God's mission for our life. Just don't be a ratchet Christian. Just don't embarrass me. Just don't make me look bad. Do you know that God has a bigger mission for your life than just living the perfect Christian life? God's not worried about you embarrassing him. He designed you to have an impact that long outlives you. The problem is, where do I discover that mission? Here's what I found out. God hides your mission from you. Now, that's frustrating. First, you have a mission that you're going to hold me accountable for, and then you're hiding it from me. The Bible says this in Proverbs 25, verse 2. "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter," or to hide your mission. "But the glory of kings," somebody say, "I'm a king." I'm not king, I'm a queen. No, in this verse, you won't be a king. Just trust me. This is gender neutral. Just be a king, okay? Sheesh. He said, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Here's what God did. God hid your mission in him. Where the only way you could ever discover why you were put on this planet at this time is when you pursue him with all of your heart. And here's why. Because God knows if you find out your mission without finding him, your mission will destroy you. We see it all the time. People who've discovered how gifted they are, but they never discovered where their gifting came from. And that gifting actually ends up taking to a place where they destroy their lives. Because if you find your mission without the creator of that mission, it'll destroy you. You don't just come to church to be in God's presence. And I'm telling you, that should be your first and your foremost reason. I'm in his presence. Because, man, how many people can say the creator of the universe knows me and desires to have a relationship with me? Let us never get too nonchalant with the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, desires to have a relationship with us. And God, I'm coming into your presence just to know more about you. But here's the deal. The more about God you discover, the more about you discover. The more about God you discover, the more about your mission you discover. Maybe you're in here and you say, Pastor, I'm not even a Christian. I got invited, actually tricked. Somebody told me we're going to brunch. They didn't tell me we're coming to church here. I don't know what happened. They'll take you to brunch. Just it'll be a later brunch. You'll be okay. I don't know about this God mission. I've discovered that believers and unbelievers alike, so often people are living life off mission. I can't truly say this is what God's called me to do. And when we don't live life on mission, we find detour missions that we get consumed in, but they never bring us to a place of fulfillment. God said this, he gathered all of his disciples around and he said, hey boys, I'm rolling out. You see, I fulfilled my mission. Died on the cross, won victory over hell, death, and the grave. Now it's your time to take the baton. But before I leave, let me commission you. Let me let you know what I've left you here on earth. Yes, Peter, come. I know you cuss, but I can still use you. Come on, come on, come on. Thomas, you doubt everything, but come on, come on. John, you're the prettiest disciple I have, and I don't know how I feel about that, but come on, guys. Gather around, gather around. Here's your mission. Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wait. You said you were bringing me for a mission, and you start off by telling me the power I'm receiving. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit rested on the disciples, it appeared like tongues of fire. When God brought the disciples around to give them a mission, the first thing he gave them was a fire. He said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Here's the mission. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God says, hey, fellas, I'm going to give you a mission. But before I give you a mission, let me give you my presence and my power. Because if you don't have my presence and my power, you'll never fulfill the mission. Here's the problem. The church has become so focused on God's presence and his power that we've forgotten the presence and the power is fuel for the mission. So we've left the mission on the side and we have these little Holy Ghost gatherings where I lay hands on you, you lay hands on me, and let's repeat next Sunday. No, the power of God is not for warm and fuzzy meetings in a room. The power of God is to fuel the mission of God in our lives. And listen to me, if you don't find your mission, your faith will be dormant. It will be impossible to maintain, to sustain a passion for God if your mission is to get into heaven. Because I hate to tell you this, but nobody at Destiny Harvest is allowed to die early. So heaven is just a little bit of a ways away. And if that's your only mission, you're going to be a bored Christian. Because that's not the mission he left us for. There's something that he has called us to do. Somebody say amen like you've had more than one cup of coffee. I want to give you three things to write down that hopefully by the time you walk out of this room, you'll be a lot closer to understanding what that mission that God has for you is. The first thing is this, my mission fills me. My mission fills me. There's a lot of people that are on what I call dead missions or dummy missions. A lot of you parents send your children on dead missions when they're annoying you. You laugh because you know you've done this. That 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 22-year-old, they're bugging you, they're annoying you. Say, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go find every paper clip that is in the cushions of the sofa. And when you found every paper clip, come back and talk to me. You know what I'm talking about? It is a pointless mission. It's just go. And when you come back, I'll find something else. My dad used to do that to me. He was a pastor, and every Saturday he'd be preparing his messages. And I'm just like, dad. And he's like, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to write the entire numbers from 1 to 0. I said, Dad, I can do that. He said, in Roman numerals. What? I know every Super Bowl from here to eternity because I spent my childhood writing out Roman numerals because I was given dead missions to not annoy my father. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that are on missions that are dead missions. My goal in life is to build as much wealth as I possibly can. That's a dead mission. My goal in life is to amass as many degrees as I possibly can and to become as educated as I possibly can. Listen to me, that's a dead mission. My goal is to make my children the most educated, the most successful people that have ever walked the face of this earth. Listen to me, that is a dead, they're not going to be great. Oh, sorry, I'm joking. Wait, Pastor, wealth is not bad. Degrees are not bad. Raising good children are not bad. What's wrong with that? Listen to me. Any mission whose origin is not in God is a mission that the day you pass away, its significance passes away. And God's mission for your life is not something that will pass away, but something that will have an eternal impact. You ever been hungry? You ever been like hungry? Whenever you're hungry, and it's usually around lunchtime. Maybe you rushed out of the house and you missed breakfast or whatever it may be. For me, lunch is just that time. And when you're hungry, you have a few options. You either pretend like you're not hungry and you just kind of push through that hunger. I got too much work and I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I don't have time to eat. And you just kind of push through. I do that sometimes. The only problem is that when I'm hungry, my salvation leaks out. I have a problem that people call being hangry. I'm not that godly when I'm hungry. People are always like, dude, you need to eat and you need to go find you some Jesus. Come back after lunch. We'll have this conversation again. Sometimes ignoring your hunger is detrimental. Another option you have is just grab some junk food. I don't have some time to sit down. I don't have some time to eat. Let me just grab something around me just to kind of numb the hunger really quickly. And usually it's not something that's nutritious or helpful for you. It's just something that kind of distracts you from your hunger. The third option is something that I do quite often. You said, no. I'm hungry and I'm going to fill this hunger and I'm going to fill it with something that I enjoy. It might kill me, but I enjoy it. So I get in my car and I drive down to Taco Bell and I said, give me a double decker, give me a nacho supreme, throw in an apple empanada and one of those little Mountain Dew things that they say mess you up, but I don't believe it. It's urban legend. So let's go for it. Just give it all for me. Why? Because I'm hungry and I'm not thinking straight. So I fill myself with stuff that's going to fill me, but it's going to hurt way worse. Pray for me. Your last option is when you're hungry that you fill yourself, but you fill yourself with something that's nutritious and that it's not going to be happy in a moment, but it's actually going to add energy and sustain you. Do you know that God placed a natural born hunger for significance in your life? There's something that God placed inside of you that desires to have an impact, a place on this planet that's bigger than yourself. The only thing is, if you don't plan for being hungry, you're going to grab whatever you can find to fulfill you in that moment. So there's so many people that are running around with a God-given hunger for significance, and they're either ignoring that hunger and living miserable lives, they're finding junk food to fill that significance, like men chasing women or chasing degrees or chasing this or chasing that, or they're filling it with junk that'll fill you but won't sustain you. It's not until I understand that I'm hungry and I need to plan for it that I can begin to think, man, what has God created me to fill this desire for significance with? There's three questions that people often think or ask when it comes to understanding a mission from God. The first question is, where do I start? Like, I mean, I get you, Pastor. I'm listening, guys, the mission for your life. I'm trying to hear your shirt so loud. I can't really hear Pastor's shirt, but I'm trying to focus. I'm just trying to listen. I got it. There's a mission, but come on, that's easy to preach. It's easy to say, but like, where do I start? Well, let me help you out. Here's the first thing you start on your mission for God. You start off by pursuing Him. You will never discover God's mission for your life without first pursuing Him. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I have a great mission for your life." But verse 13 says this, and you'll find it. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. God will not reveal a world-changing mission to someone who has not first passionately pursued Him. The second thing you do is be a good steward of your life and the responsibilities that God has given you. Can we just have a real conversation for a second? How do you expect God to give you a heavenly vision and you can't show up to class on time? Oh, we're going there? Yeah, we're there now. We're there. I've warmed up. You know me. I know you. We love each other, so we're there now. Like, let's be real. How do you expect God to give you a mission from on high when you're the last person to work and the first one to leave? The Bible says, when you're faithful with little, I will trust you with much. And we may not realize this, but God is looking to see what we're doing with the little, to see if He can trust us with much. I have a heavenly vision for you, but there's no way I'm going to give you a heavenly mission until I watch you fulfill your earthly mission. Am I stewarding my life? Am I stewarding my family? I love Joshua. Joshua was one of the people that were leading Israel into the promised land. And Joshua said this, "Forget the people. This is what I know. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My number one focus are the people in my house first before any mission outside of that." I've discovered that if I'm not a good steward of the wife that God's given me, the daughter that God's entrusted me with, the home that He's placed me over, it disqualifies me for any mission other than that. One of the things that breaks my heart is there's so many single people who have no desire to get married anytime soon. A friend of mine came with me after series of pastor. I feel like I was preaching. You were preaching about me. I was like, yeah, I was preaching about you. He's like, man, that's cold. I said, I'm preaching about you and like half the world. But I'll talk to so many guys, especially guys. I know girls, you're kind of issues too, but it's usually guys. And dude, how's it going, man? He's like, I'm good, man. Got work going. Things are good. I'm going good. Okay. You dating anybody? He's like, no. You go, Destiny Harvest? Like, yeah. I was like, just single women ever. What's the problem? Like, you need some help? You're awkward, comfortable? I can get a connect group. A connect group will tell you that's the way you do it. And they're like, no, I'm just chilling. Like, you're just chilling. What do you mean chilling? Are you like, no, I'm good. I'm just chilling. And I'm like, why are you chilling? He's like, well, I'm not really trying to get married anytime soon. I'm like, okay, we need to talk. What are you talking about? It's not really thinking marriage right now. And I find there's so many people that are thinking marriage right now. You know why? Because you've seen so many families that didn't work. And you've seen so many parent-child relationships that didn't work. And you're just like, man, I can wait for that drama. I'm going to hang out back here and I'm going to kind of just do some other stuff and I'll get there later. Listen to me. I think one of the reasons why marriages are so difficult to work and raising children just doesn't work out really great in our nation is because we don't understand that that's a mission from God. That this is not just find a soulmate and be in love and see it. No. This is something that God has entrusted me with. And one of my primary missions is to literally raise a family that reflects the glory of God. And if I would take it with the focus and the seriousness as if this was a mandate from God, I would see kingdom results. First seek Him. First focus on what He's entrusted in your hand. And then wait for Him to open a door. Listen to me. So often, God opens doors in our lives, man. You know, somebody invited me to come back and speak at my school. It's not a big deal. Something slight. Do you not understand that this is an opportunity that God has opened for you? I got, 50,000 followers on Instagram, and they're trying to, what is it? Something slight. Do you not understand that that could be influence that God is trusting you with? And it could be the first test to see what are you going to do with God opportunities? And if you maximize this God opportunity, it actually could unlock the next thing that he has for you. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. So I do not run aimlessly. I don't live my life like I don't have a mission. I'm locked in. I'm focused. I have a mission. I do not, McGregor. I do not box as one beating the air. You knew I had to throw in a fight night verse. But I discipline my body to go more than 3 rounds. This is petty, right? I just had to. But I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul said this, my first focus is me. Am I being a good steward of what God has trusted me with, knowing that it gives me permission to go on to the next thing that he has for me? First question is, where do I start? The second question is, am I going to enjoy my life? Like, let's be real. You hear mission from God, you think the same thing I think. Missionary. Timbuktu, no Chick-fil-A. No offense. If you're a missionary in Timbuktu with no Chick-fil-A, God bless you. We'll pray for you. However, that doesn't sound exciting to me. You're like, I don't know if I want a God mission because a God mission seems like a lot. Listen to me. A God's mission is the only thing that's going to ever bring joy into your life. Because the God mission is the only way that you are going to plug into the purpose that you were created for. And fulfillment never happens unless you find the purpose that he's plugged you in for. The last thing is this, that do I have what it takes? You talk about a vision from heaven, like that's heavy. That's a really big deal. Like what if I let God down? What if I start on this mission and then I don't have what it takes? Or I know me. Sometimes I mess up. I'm inconsistent. What if I don't accomplish that mission? I remember when I was ordained as a pastor. This was actually 7 years ago this January. I was 23 years old and scared out my mind. They brought in all the pastors and the overseers and they started prophesying over my life. You ever been prophesied over? It's like the scariest thing in the world. The word of the God to you said, God's going to do this, and God's going to do that, and God's going to do that. And every time they said God's going to do, you know what I heard? Stephen, you have to do. And it's like every prophecy was like a 50-pound weight, and God's going to do, like, oh, and God's going to do, like, oh, and God's like, oh, God, what are you going to do? My last overseer, he came up, and he didn't prophesy anything. He read one verse, and he sat down. Pastor Q Kim. He read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. He said, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. God is weird. God's going to give you a mission that he's going to do himself. I don't know if you ever discovered this, but God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He could accomplish his mission on his own, but for some reason, he saw fit to share his kingdom, to share his glory with us. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a mission, but I'm going to do it through you. Your only mission is to surrender to me and allow me to do it through you, and it's going to work out fine. Don't allow pressure to heap up on you. Don't look at your degree and your resume and your network. Just know, if I've called you, I'll do it through you. Just trust me. I spent the whole message on point number one. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Point number two, write this down real quick. My mission builds his house. My mission builds his house. Everybody has a unique mission, but everybody's mission is the same. Huh? Every single person, there is something unique that God has called you to do that nobody else can do, but your mission is the same as everybody else's. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Here is every single person's mission. To go find somebody who does not know that there is a God who loves them beyond their mistakes. Go find somebody who's lost hope, who's distracted on a detour, on a dead mission, and let them know there's a God who died on the cross just so he could speak to you. And not only does he want to speak to you, but he desires to cover you and to bless you and to use you for something that is greater than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. There is a purpose to life. That's every single person's mission. But where we do it is different. The Bible says to go ye therefore into all the world. And when I first read this verse, I thought, okay, all the world. That's London, that's Paris, that's Greece, that's Asia, that's Russia, that's all the world. And he said, read it again. And when I read it again, I discovered and it just struck my mind that Silicon Valley is its own little world. And the financial industry is its own little world. And how many people know Washington, D.C. is its own stinking world? And what God is saying is, what's your passion? What's your gifting? What's your vocation? That's the world that I'm sending you into to bring hope and to bring purpose and to bring focus. If you're a doctor, go into that medical world and carry with you the hope of Jesus Christ for a whole bunch of people that have studied so much science that they forget the God of the science. If you're a lawyer, go into that courtroom and go into a place that forget who the righteous judge is and let them know that there is a God that when he brings down the verdict, that is the final say. Listen to me, your mission is to build his house. So often we're praying, God, promote me, God, promote me, God, promote me. This is mean and it's insensitive and you can be angry at me later, but listen to me. Why would God promote you if you won't promote him? What would God blessing your career, your business, help him out unless the higher you go, the more glory he receives, the more influence you have, the more you point to him. Listen to me. God designed you for one purpose. To maximize the world that he's placed you in so that people that are dying and hopeless can know that there is hope, that there is purpose, that there is freedom. This is a little too intense. You guys all right? Last thing is this, write this down. Man, my mission's too big for me. So the enemy, he has plans for your life. His first plan is to make you think that you're a mistake. Or to make you think that you've made so many mistakes that God can't use you anymore. If he can't keep you from thinking that you're a mistake or you have made too many mistakes, then he's going to try to get you connected to a mission that's not God's mission for your life. Let me get you to give all your energy, all your focus, the Bible says all your virtue, to something that's not God's calling for your life. And his last scheme is this. If I can't get you off of God's mission, then I'm going to get you on God's mission, but trying to fulfill it by yourself. So he tries to bring bitterness and discord and arguments between you and I just don't do church anymore. I believe God, but I just don't do church anymore. And the church people are this and the church people are that and all this other kind of stuff. And all that is the enemy putting bitterness in your heart to get you isolated off by yourself, because the enemy knows that you're weak when you're by yourself. But if you ever get connected with some other believers that have different giftings but the same mission, that have a different vision but the same mission, that he can't stop you, because the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. Listen to me. If your mission can be accomplished by yourself, it's not from God. Why would God give you something that you can only do by yourself? No, he gave you something that's so big it scares you. And you got to get around somebody else that says, hey, I got this mission, but I don't know how to do the accounting part. Can you come in and fill in there? And I don't know how to do the mentoring part. Can you come in and fill in there? And I don't know how to do the marketing part. Can you come in and fill in there? And before you know it, you have believers that have linked arms and are literally unstoppable. Because you've discovered God's put me on this earth not for myself but for a mission to build his house with other people. 2 Peter 2:5 says this. Oh, I'm hype. I'm out of time, but I'm hype. And now you have become living, building stones for God's use in building his house. What's more, you are his holy priest. So come to him. God said every Christian is a different stone in a house that he's building. Which stone are you? Which gap in the kingdom of God are you called to fill? What's that passion that God's put on your heart because he's called? I'm all the way over the edge. Can I tell you what I don't tell people, but I want to tell people? So often people come to me, and not a lot of people leave Destiny Harvest, but some people do, and they'll come and say, Pastor, I'm leaving Destiny Harvest. And I'll just smile, and I say, you know, God calls people different places, and I get it and all that. And why are you leaving? You know, I'm leaving because Destiny Harvest didn't have fill in the blank. I'm leaving because Destiny Harvest didn't have. And here's my response. Maybe the reason why we don't have is because that's a gap that God's called you to fill. And instead of leaving upset that there's gaps, why don't you recognize that that gap has your name on it? And that's something that God's called you to fill. That's a part of the house that you're called to build. And as soon as you step up and step into the gap, this won't just become the church that you go to. It'll be the house that you're building, that God has anointed you and ordained you to transform a city that our education, economic, and political systems cannot sustain. Listen to me. There are gaps in the kingdom that have your name on it, and God is waiting. He's waiting for you to say, I accept the mission. I trust that you're not going to give me a miserable life and you'll bring my dreams to pass. I accept God's mission for my life. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.